morning. We're joyful that we have this opportunity to gather together and to study the Word of God and to give Him glory. Good to have the Kinzers with us, as I already mentioned. And he told me not to say anything negative about him or he'll talk to my mother-in-law. So I won't say anything negative at all. I appreciate the Kinzers. They're fine people. And let that be on the record. And good to have others visiting with us. We appreciate so much you visiting with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll baptize you in the name of the Son of God for the remission of sins. If you would just come forward, we'll be singing that song to encourage you to make your life right this morning. If you have your Bible, if you will, turn with me to the book of Mark in the 10th chapter. I want to begin reading with you at verse 17. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In verse 22, these sad words bring to a conclusion the account of our Lord's meeting with the man we identify as the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus running, and it appears that he is interested in eternal life. And he came to the Lord asking, "What must I do?" In other words, what is it that I need to do to be assured of everlasting life, of eternal life? And the Lord put him to the test. He really was not as interested in eternal life as he perhaps had thought he was. Because when the Lord offered him eternal life upon the things he held in material sense, he refused. It's interesting that when Jesus recited some of the commandments, Jesus did not cite, "Do not covet." And here was a man that appears to be very financially well off, and he was looking at his own possessions. And he prized his possessions, he loved his possessions, and when Jesus said to him, "Why don't you sell what you have, give it to the poor, and lay up treasure in heaven, take up your cross and follow me," that young man refused. That young man was saddened to hear that he would have to give up something in order to be a child of God. And so when the Lord offered him eternal life, and he had to give up his material things, that young man refused. And to put it in another way, the devil offered him the riches of the world, and in contrast to his soul, that young man chose the riches of the world. And what you can say about that young man is he sold out. And what I want to talk about for just a few moments of our time is the fact that that young man sold out. The first thing I want to bring to our mind is we need to be careful not to be too severe in our judgment of this young man until we put ourselves to the test. What if the Lord came and were to ask you to give up some of the things that you hold near and dear to your life? And there goes the house or the cars or the bank account, the boat, the vacation, just anything that you may own, just anything that you may call precious to you. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, "I'll tell you what, that's required of you to give it up to be a disciple of mine." You may say, "Well, the Lord will not ask me to do that." Well, this just may be true, but it is a fact that the Lord knows the heart of this young ruler. And I'll tell you, my friend, He knows our heart. And He put this young ruler to the test in this way. He said, "Give what you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven." And that sums up what Jesus said back in the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. In Matthew chapter 6, you remember that Jesus said in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also." I want you to think about what he said to this young man is, the problem with your heart is it is consumed with material things. And you know, my friend, that is something that's true with a lot of people today. They are consumed with things of this world. But let me just think about something else. What if the question was presented to you this way? Just what would you sell out for? Now, some may say that I would not be like that young ruler. I would give all my goods to have eternal life. But I want to raise that question seriously. Is there something that is more important to you than God? Just how important is your spiritual life? We live in a physical realm and a worldly realm, and it's so easy to be so consumed with our worldly life and our physical things that we forget the spiritual things. And yet God has told us they are the most important. So just what on earth would you sell out for? Would you tell God no if He came and said you'd have to give up your family? Now someone may say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, look in your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 10th chapter. And in the book of Matthew and the 10th chapter, look at what Jesus said. In Matthew 10 and look at verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You know, my friend, we can't love our family more than we love God. We must be willing to even give them up to serve the Lord. And what I mean by that is if your family member says to you, if you go and worship God, and you put God before the family, then we'll have nothing to do with you. I'll tell you, God comes first. There's been a lot of families that have been divided. Because an individual saw the truth, they saw what they needed to do, and they went and told the family member, I'm going to become a member of the body of Christ, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, and they said, oh no, you belong to this religious organization, and if you leave and go to them, we won't have anything to do with you. And they had to make a decision. And I'll tell you, my friend, it has divided families. And many times there have been some who've had to make a decision, do I put God first or do I put my family first? Do I love my family more than I love my God? And I'll tell you, my friend, that would be a hard decision, but that is a realistic decision that some have had to make. Do I love God more than family? God says that He is first. But that brings up something else. What about friends? I'm fearful that this is the very thing that keeps some of our young people from being a disciple, is they don't want to give up their friends. Their friends aren't members of the body of Christ, and thus they're afraid they'll be ridiculed. But I want you to remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 when he is writing to the Corinthians. And in verse 14, he said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" An unbeliever is not yoked to a believer, but a believer becomes yoked to an unbeliever when he becomes part of the world. He starts going the way of the world. And what he is saying is, come out from them. Be separate from them. If you're yoked to somebody who doesn't believe in Christ, doesn't love the Lord, doesn't put Him first, they're going to lead you astray. And yet, my friend, you'll find there are many people that they have decided they're going to put friends and family above God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, Paul said, "Evil companions corrupt good morals." And many times what's happened is we become so friendly with the world and we've made friends with the world that we do not see their evil influence coming into our life. But that brings up a third thing. What about your job? Some people are so married to their jobs that they've sold out to the Lord. And you know that includes some of us preachers. You know some of us preachers are so fearful that we're going to get fired that we don't preach like we should. And you know, I've told some places, I preached a sermon one time and I said, I'm preaching to get fired. Because I'll tell you something, my friend, if you hold back the truth of God because you're afraid of your job, then you're not putting God first. God comes first. And if you think about it, my friend, some people put their job before God. I remember a man in Nashville, Tennessee, who owned a business. And he quit attending services, and individuals went to him and said, why aren't you coming to serve God? He said, I'm so busy. I just don't have time. But you know, my friend, he wasn't too busy to die. And I'll tell you something, my friend. I remember what is said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. And he let it be known. He said that some have their understanding darkened and they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. What they've done is they've seen the world, they've seen the almighty dollar, and they've taken their eyes off the spiritual blessings, and they've only focused upon the physical things, the here and now. But I'll tell you something else. Some people will sell out for recreation and pleasure. We are a society that has to be entertained. We have to have a laugh or a scream a minute. And I tell you, some of us would sell out for a game. I see some people that they put their recreation above God. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving your family. There's nothing wrong with enjoying your job. There's nothing wrong with having friends. There's nothing wrong with recreation. What is the problem is when those things become more important to us than our relationship with God. And I'll tell you, when you go back to the book of Mark and the 14th chapter, there are a lot of people who are sad to hear these words today because they want to put other things above God. God is not the center of their life. God is just a part of their life. We hurry in and give God lip service, then we go back to our life. Then we act like this isn't part of our life. I'll tell you, this should be the center of our life. If God isn't the center of our life, then God is in the wrong place. God needs to be the focus, and our life revolves around Him. And notice that Jesus, when He looked at this man in verse 21, He loved him. He wasn't trying to drive the young man away. He was trying to get the young man to give up that which was hindering him from being a disciple. That which would hinder him from being what he needed to be to inherit eternal life. So that brings up a second thought. We need to take another look at Jesus. For just a moment, look at Jesus in this event. It's evident the Lord did not follow after the young man and offer some type of compromise to get him to obey. Have you ever noticed when Jesus told him what to do, when the young man went away, Jesus didn't chase him down? Jesus told him what he needed to do. And when the young man turned and walked away, Jesus didn't chase him down and offer a compromise. I've often thought about, it could be that Jesus, when he said that, hurt more than the young man. Because he saw that young man be willing to trade his soul. And Jesus knows how precious a soul is. And I want you to look and see that Jesus had put forth in terms plain language. He said, here's what you need to do. And Jesus does that for us today. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, He said that you go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. There's no compromise in that. He said you need to be a part of the body of Christ. Acts 2, 47, He added to the church daily those who were being saved. He added them to His church. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. That eliminates all others. It belongs to Him. There's one. And one must not be attracted by things of material nature and trade spiritual things for entertaining things. I turned on the television yesterday, and I was watching this place in their worship service. And as I watched, and my heart started to break because I saw people who I think were very sincere. But what was happening in their worship was somebody was getting up and entertaining them. This man was singing this song. They had everything going on. And when he's done, everybody applauded. I want to know, my friend, when does man ever deserve to take credit and glory and rob God of that? No man deserves it. We come to worship God and to give Him glory. And so I want you to think about, we don't trade spiritual truth for entertainment. We don't trade spiritual things for worldly things. Because He said all the things of this world, my friend, they're going to perish. They're going to have rust, or they're going to have moth, or they're going to have something come and destroy them. If not, at the end of the world, God will destroy it with fervent heat. Now think about something else. What kind of an attitude must one have? We now come face to face with the important issue of what type of an attitude must one have. It would have to be that eternal life is worth anything it costs. That you're willing to give it up. You're willing to give up anything and everything. You're willing to give up all to go to heaven. In your Bible, in Matthew 16:24, what does Jesus say? Do you remember what Jesus was talking to when He's talking to the disciples about His following Him? He said, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself. You've got to deny self. Then take up your cross and follow Me. Those are the words He said to the young man. He said, take up the cross and follow Me. But He first is saying, deny yourself of the things that will hinder you from being My disciple. You ever thought about there are good things that can become sinful because we love them more than we love God? Do we judge the decision of the young man to be a wise or foolish one? I'm sure you have the answer. But unfortunately, the young man did not feel that trading earthly things for eternal things was worth it. And there are very few that feel that way in our day. Everybody seems to be doing what they did in the book of Judges, doing what is right in their own eyes. And I'll tell you something. It is a constant battle to put God first. It's a constant battle for me. It's a constant battle to everyone. Because when we look out, before long, if we're not studying and we're not praying and we're not doing those things that give God glory, we can start to wander off the path. And something here catches our eye and we love it more than we love God. Who do you love? And just exactly what would you sell out for? Have you already sold out? Or are you going to be a child of God? If you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is that you'll put God first this morning and come as together we stand and sing.